Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Hello, hello. It is Saturday night, so you... Not Saturday. Jesus Christ, I'm used to just me and Joe. It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's another episode of the Mark Order Podcast. Wow. I'm so used to just being you and I on Saturdays that I naturally assume it's Saturday if I see only you and I. It's me, Ryan, joined by my co-host, Joe. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm good, but we haven't been on a Saturday night in last few weeks together, so I don't know why you're thinking that.
It's still just how I put things together. I usually introduce Saturdays... Kate was doing Wednesdays. I don't have to do the introductions as much here. It comes a thing. Happy Wednesday. It is just Joe and I tonight. Kate is still taking helping Fightful out. She should be back next week, hopefully. You know, but it takes whatever time it takes because Sean's going through something with his grandmother passing away, and I send him my condolences. So whatever time he needs, and she's got to help run the ship over there. So that being said, we are doing our AEW Dynamite / Rampage watch along because we weren't going to start at 11:15. Absolutely not. So before we start talking Dynamite and watching Jay White versus Dante Martin, which is so far a good match, how you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, I just got back from a little road trip to Denver. When I was gone, Ryan still forgot how to end the music.
Oh, God. I put it so low, I forgot it was on.
but other than that, yeah, I was out of town when all the multiple tornadoes hit the area. So I missed out on all that, but there's still a lot of mess to be cleaned up around here. So
your family and friends all good?
Yeah, I think everyone, all people I know, they were out of the way, luckily, but a lot of areas that, you know, within a couple of miles difference, it would have been a different story for a lot of people.
Okay. Yeah, that was wild seeing the videos of those tornadoes. Just wild.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, but maybe a silver lining is the fact that they happened in the afternoon where people could, you know, see outside. There's a lot of warning ahead of time for people, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's, tornadoes are scary. They might be earthquakes, up there with earthquakes is like the scariest natural phenomenon. Like, hurricanes aren't great, but you're given ample time to get out. You may lose everything. I'm not saying property-wise it's not as scary. But life-wise, you have ample time to get a tornado. It could just spring up out of nowhere. And it's like, well,
yep,
here you go.
So how are things out on the East Coast?
Not too bad. We're finally getting some hot weather, which is not great. I hate the heat, but no, it got up into the 80s, and I think almost touched 90 at some point. So we're spicy out here.
That's not a friend if you're a larger person like myself.
The heat is the worst, you know, but still, thank God I don't live in Canada, like, you know, maybe Ophelia over here.
What's wrong with Canada?
I don't know. Just I'm here to do some Canadian slander. Hello, Big G. All right, so I guess we'll get into our watch along / review. These things are always a little differently paced because you're both responding to something live and reviewing, and right now, like I said, we're in picture-in-picture, so a good time to start. We start the show with Tony Khan in his neck brace in his Jacksonville office, saying he's recovering, but he's not allowed to leave Jacksonville because of the injury. So he'll be doing his best to run things from there. And in between, as he's talking, you could see like technical glitches, and then suddenly signal loss from AEW, and then you go back, and it's the EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, saying, a couple things. The answer how they're not fired, which is still a very questionable answer because they just said ironclad contracts. Now, I'm not, you know, a lawyer, I'm not a contract lawyer. I don't think any contract's ironclad enough to excuse assault, but
they said they had a founder's clause. I don't know
again, what
the clause is, but apparently, you know, it's
not, I'm not against it. I just, it's to me, my experience, there's never been a contract good enough like that, but whatever. At least they, whether there's logic or not, at least they explained it. And we can, this is wrestling where you don't get arrested for attacking people in like parking lots and stuff. So we can live with, this is the world you exist in. So, but they're part of their contract say that, if Tony Khan is not able to run the show from the arena, the power, they are in control. So essentially, the EVPs are now in control. Kind of saw it going this way. What do you think of their promo and their explanation and the fact that we now have like an evil power structure?
First off, I appreciate the fact that Tony sold the kayfabe neck injury all draft weekend. So kudos to him for wearing the neck brace during the draft. I'm glad that the Bucks addressed it right away, because I think a lot of people were wondering what was going to happen. How can people get away with that? Like you said, it wasn't maybe the greatest explanation, because there's probably a lot of questions we could ask, but they gave us some reasoning. I kind of chuckled a little bit when they talked about, you know, when Tony's not there, they succeed him, since their music is such a playoff of Succession. So that kind of popped me a little bit. But otherwise, yeah, I think it's what we expected as far as the outcome, and now them kind of running the show and having so many people upset with them, whether it's FTR, Kenny Omega, Swerve, whoever else. So it's going to be interesting to see this whole rebellion get built out over the course of months.
Yeah, I agree completely. I do like that it does seem to be lining up that way, that no one else is for it. SJ, you're going to have to explain to me how you're in intermission, yet I'm seeing wrestling. Was this filmed before? I mean, probably.
Is that what you're
just weird. About? Yeah, I'm like, what?
Maybe this match, right, like the hour before Dynamite or whatever.
I'm assuming, but that's just weird to do to me. Like, you have the extra hour. Why wouldn't you just...
How can you be in two places at once?
She's charging her phone. But is wrestling going on, or is the show an intermission? They don't do intermission, so it must be her intermission. Her intermission, okay. I was like, I didn't understand it. That makes a lot more sense
White, come on.
He's a switchblade. Big G asking, can't TK just appoint someone else to run the show? So I'm sure we're going to see that. The only thing I would think is maybe they could argue that the EVP contracts mean that he can't.
It's the succession of power.
Yeah, like he can't just say you're above me. You have to. I'm guessing that's how they get around that.
We'll talk about later at the close of the show a little bit too, I'm sure.
Yeah. So then we move into Shane Strickland comes out, and Swerve cuts his promo of like, three matches, three nights. This is who people wanted. This is who I said I would be. Kicking butt, taking names. He talks a little bit of trash on the EVPs, calls them scum. Switchblade Jay White just got the pin. It looked real good. I'm all for Switchblade getting more wins on TV. We need a lot more of that. Big G, I don't know if the Founders Clause might override the TK EVP thing. I'm sure they've thought this through to try to avoid it. I think that's why Kenny Omega was brought in, even though then he gets hurt. I think they're trying to go that route. Swerve trashes the EVP, saying like you're basically garbage for doing what you did. He says, I'll get to you guys later. Then he addresses, what is Switchblade doing? Sorry. This is the intricacies of, it looks like he's congratulating Dante, and then
it looks like he gave him a death rider.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. He's raising his hand in the air, and then he's going to attack him. You just know he is. He's Switchblade.
Oh, yeah, I'm ahead of you. Sorry.
How are you that far ahead of me?
I don't know.
And he definitely just gave him the Death Rider.
Yep, there it is. Yeah, I'm like 15 seconds ahead of you.
Yeah, you're far enough ahead of me. Well, AEW tweeted what happened in the Kenny Omega thing before I ever saw it on TV.
Man, that sounds like a Canadian problem.
No, it's weird. So Swerve says, you know, on to my next opponent. I don't know who it's going to be. Whoever it is, come on out. Up, pop the EVPs on the screen. They're clearly not happy that Swerve's been talking some smack. They said, we have a challenger for you. Deanna's talking, but I'll continue to talk. We had a challenger for you. It's a Canadian. They're a former champion. They're a legend. They haven't been seen in a while. Obviously trying to hint towards Kenny Omega. Here you are. Music hits. It's Christian. With the rest of the patriarchy. So Christian walks out. You think Christian's going to have this big lovely speech. Just pops him. Just pops Swerve, which starts a fight. Swerve knocks down Christian. He knocks down Nick. He knocks down everyone. He gets to Mama Wayne, who's got on like 9-inch heels so that she's taller than Swerve. And someone really should have told her, like, shrink your heels. Like, this is like, I'm not usually one for that, but it is kind of weird. Like, you don't need to tower above the actual competitors. He hesitates, obviously. He's not going to hit her. He gets popped by Killswitch. They then beat the hell out of him. And then Christian grabs the mic and he says, actually, I like that Christian does a good job. He says he remembers that Swerve broke into the gym months ago and beat up Nick Wayne. He also remembers that they were tag team partners and lost. And so he doesn't forgive him for that. And then Killswitch picks up Swerve and yanks a hair, one of his dreadlocks out, which seems exceptionally painful. I don't know how it was done because I doubt they would actually do that, but they're crazy. So maybe they did. What are your thoughts on this segmentian?
I guess I didn't think about Christian being one of the first feuds for Swerve. So that was kind of a nice surprise. It's interesting for him to come back after losing the TNC championship and all of a sudden being kind of thrust into this world championship picture. But I suppose we can, you know, let it slide because the EVPs put him in that position. I like that Swerve got a chance to do his promo that we've been waiting for the last couple of weeks, I feel like, to talk about, you know, his reign as a champion and what he's going to do with it.
Well, he did it Saturday, too.
True.
You just were too busy trying to get into Casa Bonita.
True. Failed on that, by the way. And then, yeah, I like the fact that Christian tried to play up some history between the two of them. The whole thing about him attacking Nick Wayne at his home was kind of funny because Christian had no part in that whatsoever. Like, it was a Darby Allin feud. Like, but the fact that Christian is so, you know, self-obsessed that he took it personally was kind of a nice little touch. And then at the end, just the crowd chanting, "Eat it." Or what was it, like, they're trying to chant eat the hair or something?
Yeah, eat the hair. I think they wanted him to eat it.
That would have been gross. So I'm glad that they avoid that. But I think it'll be fun for for a month or so for a feud.
By the way, Big G, I'm pretty sure Mobile Embassy's just gone at this point.
I mean, they referenced them, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I guess you could make the argument that they weren't prepared to go out with him, so they didn't think to run out because they didn't count on Swerve being attacked. I don't know, but I just have a feeling. I just I'm not saying necessarily the group. I just think it's a dead group.
Yeah.
So then we move on to Adam Copeland versus Buddy Matthews. It was the Copeland Challenge. He didn't know who he was going to face from the House of Black, but it ended up being Buddy Matthews. This was a very hard-hitting, very good match. I mean, Copeland's just having a really good run here of just being like, hey, I am a really good wrestler. There was a weird scene in the middle of it where Buddy Matthews like had like a rib injury. He was coughing up blood, which is not usually what you would do for the heel. And it seemed fake because he wrestled the rest of the match. It was a back and forth thing. However, Copeland eventually wins with the spear. After the match, Copeland attacks Matthews with chairs, has him set up for concerto. Lights go out. Next thing you know, Malachi Black standing next to Copeland. Instead of stopping him, looks at him and goes, do it. Do it. Very Emperor from Star Wars. Then lights go back black. Copeland's going to do it. He goes to swing. Lights go black again. Both guys are gone. So one thing, what'd you think of the match? Then what'd you think of Emperor Malachi?
So the match was fun. It felt very much like a classic, you know, Edge / Adam Copeland match. It felt like... just because I think maybe because it was long, and I feel like a lot of his matches go long, but it served as a nice reminder how good Buddy Matthews is. I felt like it really gave him a lot of time to display his skills that we don't always get to see. So there's a lot of times these matches I feel like are shorter. So giving him the time was nice tonight with Copeland, and I liked how Taz and Excalibur on commentary really put over certain moves like the modified bulldog choke and talking about the angles and talking about the leverages. And I thought that was just a nice little touch. I thought they did a really good job tonight on commentary explaining the moves throughout the night.
Yeah, they did. There was one point where Copeland was on the top rope, sitting on the top rope, and Buddy looked like he was going to suplex him. And I think it was Excalibur who actually said, typically your legs are on the outside of the ropes when you go for a suplex. And Taz is like, yeah, of course, which was a really nice thing because I've never noticed that. But also it directly led to Copeland being able to reverse it into, I guess, like a DDT is off the top. They called it, I think, something else. But
oh, yeah, the Impaler.
The Impaler. Okay, thank you. Oh, Big Bill is now officially part of the learning tree. Thank you, Big G. I'm watching, but I didn't need to hear this segment. So, yeah, that was
and I guess and then maybe to touch on the end part of Sith Lord Malachi, I'm interested to see where the house is going with them and Copeland and them trying to basically, you know, try to turn him to the dark side. I initially didn't buy the fact that the mist is making him crazy because we've seen Copeland concerto Nick Wang in front of his mother without mist in his eye before. So the crazy's always been there. I think it's just having Malachi and House of Black try to draw it out of him again. That's kind of interesting to watch as he wrestles each member of the House of Black.
Yeah, no, you're right. Swerve is saying something or other after.
Where do you see Copeland going with this feud with House of Black? Do you see him giving in to the dark side?
So what I kind of hope happens is that they think they have. I mean, the problem is it's kind of happened before, but I'm hoping it goes. They really do it with him where they think they have him as Kyle O'Reilly makes his way out. And he goes, you guys, been around a long time. I was a vampire. I had a live sex celebration. I led my own cult. You think you can do anything to me? Like, this will never work. This is for different people. I call them weaker people, and let him get away with that. Because I think it'd just be fun for it to call out of like, it's not going to work on a guy like Adam Copeland. It's going to be a fun feud, though. And I apologize for keep turning my head, but I want to see what's going on around Paige as Rocky Romero walks out. Because he gave a promo tonight. I'll skip ahead, but since he's walking out, I feel like it's relevant. He gave a promo tonight where he basically said, like, he doesn't like that all his friends are fighting. So he's just going on his own from now on. He's doing his own thing. He wins gold in AEW. He's had gold everywhere else. I don't think he's going to win gold in AEW, but I wouldn't mind more Rocky Romero. He's very, very good. Any thoughts on him going solo? He's going solo.
You know, it makes sense. And he's wrestling Kyle O'Reilly, who's also a guy who wants to do it by himself. So just two lost souls without friends trying to make their way.
Making their way. The only way they know how, and that's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
That's not this.
Dukes of Hazzard.
I had a different TV theme song.
I didn't even watch Dukes of Hazzard. I just know the theme.
I'm trying to think what song I had. I have the Cheers song in my head.
Okay. Fair enough. Then we're moving quick, but. We move to Isaiah Cassidy versus Samoa Joe. This was interesting, and because it was clearly a squash, but it was a fun one because Isaiah still took the towel off the rope to begin with, did his little Joe dance, and then Joe beat him up, and then Isaiah at one point said, like, I'm not scared of you, or you don't intimidate me, or something, and then immediately gets tossed in the air and screeches like he screeches. Then to end the match, he has Joe in the corner and he tries to do like a monkey flip, but he can't move Joe because Joe just won't move. And Joe ends up like reversing that into the muscle buster and pinning. Very quick squash, but obviously it's enough so that Joe is remaining hot. I don't think Isaiah Cassidy loses anything from this. He's mostly a tag guy. This is just was a lot of fun. Any quick thoughts on what was a squash?
I initially loved Samoa Joe's unamused facial expression and body language of him watching Isaiah come down the ring and do all of his, you know, his dancing and his flips and all that stuff. And Joe just sitting in the corner just saying, who the hell is this guy? Like, what's going on? I'm going to kill you. And that's what happened. But Isaiah sells so well. And that's the part I liked about this match was he sold a lot of stuff that Joe gave him. And whether it's, you know, the screeching or the walk away spot where he dives over the top of the rope and lands on the outside on his back. I mean, of all the dive away, the walk away spots, I don't want to voluntarily dive over a rope and land on my back on the outside. But
yeah,
I'm curious to see where Joe goes from here, though. Like, you know, as we try to, you know, heat him back up again or keep him hot. I don't, you know, he's had ROH championships. He's had the AEW World Championship. So I'm curious where his direction is now.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't actually need to go into a championship feud. He can just be in one.
Right.
He's good enough to carry a feud whatever way he goes. So if he doesn't want to, they don't want to put him into a championship one, it's not the end of the world. Kyle O'Reilly and Rocky are having a hell of a match. Lots of violence because that's who Kyle O'Reilly is. I'll tell you what. Hold on, we are flying, so we're going to take a quick break. I just realized how quickly into this, how far into this I already am.
To be fair, like, I feel like the wrestling, it felt like a little bit lighter on the wrestling.
Yes, it did. And, like, I have a lot to say. Like, I actually have a lot to say about Chris Jericho, yeah. And I have a lot to say about Mariah May and Serena Deeb. Well, not a lot, but I have stuff to say, but we're flying through this. So let's take a quick break. It'll be a quick one tonight, guys. I remember the last time we had the same thing happen where Rampage was on and we were doing it. It was also a very quick one. For whatever reason, it like throws off the rhythm.
The rhythm.
I think it's because we go. What'd you say?
So the rhythm is going to get you.
Yeah. I think it's because we go right into the show, whereas rather there's no BSing. So
the G, I don't think we're going to get more Moto Embassy members. I don't think as a face, he will have more members.
Yeah, I think it's done. Dun, 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 dun. All right, let me put my commercial out. Should have turned up the music first, but I wasn't thinking.
and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Broadcast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
and we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves, and when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jax. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about. Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast with two men. Two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rogue. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right. And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
Once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast in the back with the boys, you piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing. You got a slide one in there? If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slide one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back. Still continuing Rampage. I believe I saw Kyle O'Reilly one, but I don't have the brain of a goldfish that just forgot that 3 seconds later. So we are part of the Shining Wizards Network. So please support any of those good shows if they sound interesting to you. Even if they don't. To support us, please follow us on all socials at Mark Order Pod. And if you go to our socials, you can find a link tree, and that link tree will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/MarkOrderPod, where you can buy one of four t-shirts. I know SJ, who is no longer in the chat because she's back watching wrestling, wore one to the show tonight. So you could be cool too and wear one to the show and feel like you're part of something. You don't have to, you know, wear a wrestler shirt. Why would you do that? You wear one of ours and people know you're cool. That's how we roll. So that's where we are. Continuing on. Big G did point out in the chat that the announcer said after Swerve's Rampage promo that he won't be alone next week. It's probably the Mogul Embassy, but Big G does present the more interesting Keith Lee thing. But yeah, I would believe it's probably at that point. But the Mogul Embassy doesn't really fit him because they are stereotypical heels. And while he's not necessarily a stereotypical face, I just don't see them. I don't know. Maybe I'm. Do you think any of the Mogul Embassy would show up?
No, I think it's going to be some other individual name, not a group. I think it would be one other person.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I'm just trying to think about who maybe we haven't seen in a while or lately, and who would have an issue with Christian.
Christian. Who would have an issue with Christian? That's a good question.
I don't.
So we get back from our commercial break, And we have Orange Cassidy in the ring. Well, actually, their commercial break, too. We have Orange Cassidy in the ring, and he said he never thought he'd have to say this. He thought after Saturday he'd be... He's not good at this, he said. Or, no. I don't know. He said something, but he said he thought after Saturday. Sorry, Kenny Omega said he's not good at this. Orange Cassidy said he thought after Saturday he would... Sorry, man. I got wrestling going on at the same time. I'm all over the place. After Saturday, he thought that they would have all made up. Him, the best friends would have made up, and he'd have Chucky and Trent in the ring. What he didn't expect was that Trent would beat up Chucky so bad after the match that Chuck apparently can no longer wrestle. Now, there's been no reports on that being true or not. I am hoping it's storyline, because that would be very sad to have it be real. I feel like you should let Chuck announce his retirement if that's the case. But we'll see. But he said, I'm standing alone in this ring, and the next time I see you, Trent Beretta, and then Trent Beretta walks out. Orange Cassidy goes to get at him. He gets broken up by some security guards that I recognize from a local Canadian indie promotion. So that's kind of funny. Statlander comes out, tries to separate him, and then comes Don Callis. Now, anyone who had watched the street fight knows that Don Callis watched the street fight. And we all thought Don Callis was watching Trent. Trent would be the newest member of the Callis family. However, Don Callis whispers in Orange Cassidy's ear and escorts Orange Cassidy to the back. So, unless he's pulling a swerve, it looks like Don Callis is courting Orange Cassidy. What are your thoughts on the possibility of Chucky retiring and the Orange Trent Don Callis storyline?
I'm with you on the Chuck Taylor retirement thing. I feel like we wouldn't mention it like that. It would, you know, unless there's a follow up in a week or so where he comes out and mentions it. But I feel like it's a storyline. So I think going into this, when Trent turned on Orange, I thought it maybe it would do more for Trent and his character and where he was going, but it feels like it's doing more for OC now that we have the Don Callis part into it, and Orange is showing a little bit more edgier side to him now. It feels like it's doing more for Orange's character development than doing for Trent.
So, by the way, it's now Willow versus Sky Blue. Willow has a trash can lid with a smiley face on it. I kind of always thought it would do more for Orange Cassidy than Chuck. I don't know why. I hated it because I love Chuck, but I just kind of always assumed
Trent.
That Chuck would be the odd man out of the three of them.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Trent.
I'm sorry. No, you're right. Sorry. I think it is doing something for Trent, actually, but I think it's I think Trent's the, I don't know what Trent's going to do. If it's a swerve to put him in the Callis family, it's interesting. I think he has a lot of potential as a heel on his own. I don't think he has, I just feel like I don't want to see him. Like, I don't want to see Orange in the Callis family. I definitely don't want to see, but I don't think I want to see Trent either. I don't think that helps Trent's heel run. So you're right. It looks like it's more shine on Orange, but I have faith that maybe Trent comes away with this.
Unless the Callis family loses a guy like Fletcher and they need to replace a guy. Okay, Fletcher wasn't ruthless enough to do what Callis wants him to do. So maybe Callis is recruiting, you know, whether it's Orange or whether it's Trent, someone who is desperate enough and is alone and can recruit them to be that person.
Yeah, that's he may be, Callis may be going to Orange, like you said, Orange Cassidy to, that's another thing, BG, Hobbs is injured. Hobbs is out for a while. So could be replacing Hobbs. But Callis could be going to to Orange Cassidy more as like, see how Trent reacts.
Do you? That's his spot.
Yeah, there's been a few already, and it's
See how far ahead if I'm ahead of you still.
I know this. I haven't seen it, but I know the spot that's coming.
Yeah.
Oh. Doesn't hurt nearly as much if the person stays in the chair. But yeah, maybe this is Callis trying to see how Trent reacts. How do you react when I go for Orange and not you? Do you just accept it, or do you lash out and come for it? You know, we'll see. We go back to Renee Paquette. She's interviewing the EVPs who leave and put Jack Perry. Jack Perry says he meant that he wants to do what's best for AEW, and what he did was best for AEW, and he needed to make that sacrifice. And now we're in a new era under the Elite. I don't know if you have anything to say about this. There's not a whole lot of substance there.
Nope.
It's more just like, you say so, Jack.
I feel like Jack, you're probably better off not saying as much and just being kind of the silent guy. Mm-hmm. He kind of smirks at the camera, does kind of what the EVPs want him to do.
Agreed. He sounded better here than he did when he was trying to be a heel last year, but still not his overall strength. We have Chris Jericho versus Shibata for the FTW Championship. First, I want to say that Taz was very angry on commentary, which was quite funny to listen to Taz be so angry over Chris Jericho having the FTW title. I thought that was very well done. This was an interesting match. We had hockey pucks. We had a trash can. We had the kendo sticks. Did we have anything else?
Yeah, table.
We had a table, you're right. I don't think we had a hockey stick.
No, you did not have a hockey stick. Yeah, trash can. Trash can lid, stick, table, hockey pucks.
Yeah, that's about it. It was actually kind of fun. I actually had a little bit of fun with this. There was a point in the match where Shibata had the trash can on him, and Jericho's hitting him with a stick, and Shibata just gets up with the trash can on, and then backs Jericho into a corner, and then hits Jericho with a bunch of kicks, even though he's got the trash can on, which the kicks was impressive. I've always felt that like a kendo stick on a trash can is not a great attack. Because the trash can's kind of giving you a little bit of a shield there.
Well, maybe it's for your eardrums.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's true. I don't know. I still think it's more painful to hit someone just with a kendo stick.
Agreed.
Chris Jericho ends up winning because Big Bill comes out and attacks Shibata. Chris Jericho is still the FTW champion. Big Bill is officially part of the learning tree. Thoughts on this? Like I said, I thought it was a fun match, but it was definitely a clusterfuck.
Going into this match, I had my shaking my head moment of, oh my gosh, here's another Jericho match, and it's going to make Shibata look awful because Shibata is going to lose. But it turned out to be a lot better than I expected. And I think incorporating the clusterfuckery of it all with the FCW rules and having it kind of be a hardcore match, I think helped it. So it provided some entertainment. It protected Shibata in the loss with Big Bill being involved. So I thought it was a lot more fun than I expected. And they did like 3 or 4 minutes of chopping each other, which was fun. And I will never not be impressed by how loud of a chop Shibata gives for his size.
Yeah.
And then I think you're just fun. And, you know, Big Bill can be a part of the learning tree. Cool. He can be the the biggest branch of the tree.
Well, he would be the trunk. No, I guess that'd be Jericho. No, Jericho's the roots. Big Bill's the trunk.
I don't know.
I'm overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're getting thumbtacks. Yes, we are.
We are. Yes, you have thumbtacks. Someone going.
So we had hockey pucks earlier. So I will say this: I'm glad that the Jericho Shibata match was so silly, because it doesn't feel like this is now a hat on a hat. Like, you're not doing two things. Like, these matches, from what I'm watching, feel very different, because the Jericho match was much sillier, much more goofy. This is much more straightforward street fight style.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Willow's been in a lot of street fight style matches in AEW.
She has.
There it is. Good for Sky taking the...
I love when they throw chairs at each other. Such a...
Oh, man. Ugh. Thumbtacks.
I mean, I think Willow took more of those thumbtacks than Sky did.
Well, I like when they deliver the move and then they end up pinning the person in the thumbtacks as well.
That's where you got to pin them. So after the Chris Jericho match, we go to a quick interview with Statlander, Stokely, and Willow. Statlander apologized for the Mercedes thing, saying, hey, my bad, I just didn't like her coming out to talk while you were talking. We'll see how that plays out in the future. Willow cuts a thing on Sky Blue, but the important part was, as Renee's talking, Will Washington, formerly a Fightful, enters the picture and handles Renee a note from the EVP saying that Stokely is banned from ringside. Stokely and Chris are banned from ringside. I think it's for no reasons except my actions, I think was something similar to the line. So that's why during the match we're watching now, there is no Stokely or Chris, because they are banned from ringside. Any thoughts on this very quick segment?
No, it was fun with Stokely. Willow had a little bit of a little bit more edge to her in her promo. She wasn't so bubbly and happy. She was talking about, you know, manging Sky Blue and like pretty much destroying her, and you know, she wasn't smiling when she was doing it, which was nice to hear. And I think it just kind of further sows the seeds of Statlander and her eventually turning on Willow.
Yeah, I agree. That's what it seems to be setting up. We then move to Brian Cage versus Claudio Castagnoli. I'm going to be honest, I don't remember much of this match. I remember the big swing into the sharpshooter, and that's about it. Do you remember anything from this match?
I remember that it was the Media Men match of the night. It was just two guys just slapping the hell out of each other, kicking the hell out of each other, punching the hell out of each other. That's what I remember most of the match. And Sky Blue just took a powerbomb into barbed wire.
You're so far ahead of me.
And Willow wins. Spoiler alert for you.
No, I mean, good for Willow.
But yeah, I think the takeaway I had from the match was I want to see Claudio do something in singles in AEW. I mean, I know he's obviously had titles and ROH and everything else, but I'd like to see him kind of go on a singles run in AEW since...
I'm not sure how that's a pin. That table's not flat.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, you're right. I agree.
But yeah, I mean, Danielson's had a singles run. Moxley's had a singles run. Like, let Claudio have get him into like a TNC picture or a international title or Continental title, whatever. Get him into something.
No, I agree. Let him do something. That ref almost slipped, broke his ass, jumping over the table. So then we move into Mariah May versus Serena Deeb. And I actually thought this was a lot of fun. This was a lot of back and forth. And as you'd expect, a good amount of technical wrestling with Serena Deeb. And Mariah May can whip out the technical side too. So it's not like she's incapable of doing it. Serena Deeb ends up winning with a crab that she got. She initiated it by pulling Mariah off the top rope onto the ground into the half crab, which was a very interesting way to get into that half crab. And then she started slamming her knee into the mat, and then she submitted her. I have other thoughts. But
she didn't submit her.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Sorry. She technically won by submission, though.
Is that how they booked that?
Tony Storm threw the towel in, but technically that is winning by submission.
Okay.
What did you think?
It really did a job of highlighting Serena Deeb, especially with Deeb getting that title match. I initially didn't think about her winning the match because I thought, you know, they wanted to keep Mariah May, get her some more wins, but having the outcome and having her face Tony for the title at Double or Nothing, it made sense for the outcome. I felt like Deeb out-wrestled Mariah May all match anyway, so that was kind of fun to watch her just be the professor in the ring. And how smooth and how fluid she was, and you know, from one hold to another, was kind of a thing of beauty to watch.
Yeah, that was a very, that was a, like I said, I think Mariah played a big role in that. I think Mariah is very good at her job, and she allowed that stuff to play in. What I found interesting is Mariah hit the hip attack, but could not win with it, which I just found like a little interesting.
She didn't have a big enough hip, I don't think, as...
I think that's what Tony's going to say. I think that's what's going to be said in an interview, which will be funny.
You're on the Stairmaster some more or something, you know?
Yeah, so it's just kind of funny. Like, again, I'm not...
I'm curious to see, with Tony throwing the towel in to save Mariah, I'm interested to see if Mariah will understand that, or if she'll be like, no, I have the match still. Like, you didn't have to save me.
Maybe down there. I don't know if they're ready for the split yet. I still think the split is what it is, but I don't know if they're ready for it yet. Because what Tony's going to basically, my feeling is Tony's basically going to say, like, I couldn't stand to see you suffer. And you're going to have Mariah be like, oh, thank you. I love you. And it's going to be, or is, her stardom people gonna be like, Tony Storm doesn't believe in you, doesn't think you could take it, doesn't think you're tough enough? Are we gonna see a little bit of clash between the people that know Mariah?
Hi, Jesse Ozage.
Hi, Jesse.
Yeah, you have to be nice because, you know, it's when Kate's not here, right?
Mm-hmm. I said hi.
I know.
Yeah, no Kate, no gimmick. Jesse, you're not gonna say hi to me.
There you go.
Well, I'm just drinking a water.
Jesse, me. Wait,
so we go to the big event of the evening, and it's probably a continuation of the storyline of last week, but it's one up. So you have Kenny Omega walk out, and Kenny Omega starts talking about his diverticulitis, which is a very real, very fucked up disease, or illness, or whatever you call it. It really sucks. You know, people have had it. I think Brock Lesnar had it at one point. So it really sucks. And he was basically saying he was a day from dying. And the doctor said he has to get the surgery. He'll have to have a colostomy bag. Could be 6 days, 6 weeks, 6 months. Could be a year. Could be his life. He asked if he doesn't, they'd say, well, you're just a ticking time bomb, and if you're going to have to get it one way or another, it's just whether you choose to do it or, you know, something ruptures and you have no choice. He can't take any blunt force to the abdomen is basically what they tell him. So he didn't, you know, he's home, he's not watching Dynamite, he's shaking, he's very upset, he's sad, he doesn't think he'll ever wrestle again. And then he watches Dynasty, and he sees Swerve, and he sees Ospreay versus Danielson, and he just sees wrestling, and all of a sudden he realizes the shaking isn't because he's scared, the shaking is because he's going through withdrawal, he misses this, and he will be back, essentially. And then he gets to He goes, colostomy bag or no colostomy bag, I will be wrestling or something like that. He goes, and speaking of other bags of shit, he goes to the EVPs. And I don't think he explains that he is also an EVP. So he also has that ironclad contract, and he also has power, and he considers himself in power. And as he's speaking, out comes Okada. And Okada was standing face to face with Kenny, and Kenny's basically like, "How, you know, so you take like you've taken my spot. I'll see you. How about in a couple months, we sort this out." And Okada goes, "Sorry, Kenny, you're no longer the best bout machine. I am." And then Jack Perry attacks Kenny. Okada goes wild. Kenny fights back. You think Kenny's gonna have him? Okada interferes with Kenny, like grabs Kenny's leg, distracts him. Jack Perry nails Kenny in the abdomen with a chair, which we just heard that he can't take any damage there. Cut to the EVPs walking out, like, "What are you doing?" Which everyone knows is a fake thing. "What are you doing? How can you be doing this to our buddy?" And then they hit the EVP trigger. You're like, "Oh God." Outcome FTR, they make the save. Sorry, guys, this is a long segment. Outcome FTR, they make the save. They chase the bad guys away. Woohoo. They go, they take Kenny out on a stretcher. As they're walking to the back, the Elite attack FTR and put like take him out of the picture, and then go up to Kenny, say like, "This is sorry, they need to move on, this is best for business," and then dump the stretcher over on its side, which looks so bad. Like, not like it looks so painful, like to be thrown on your side like that. And that's where we are. So Joe, would you rather be hit in the abdomen with a chair or thrown off a stretcher?
Well, he wasn't really like thrown off. He pretty much just like tipped over, right? I felt like he was the top. I think I'd rather take the tip over, because you're only rolling off like, you know, 4 feet or so, or 3 feet. You're not like that high up. I feel like I could roll off it and kind of like brace myself a little bit more than taking a steel chair to the stomach.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think the chair would hurt more, but still, that looked very painful to just be tossed to the side.
I mean, who hasn't rolled out of bed before, right? And just fallen on the floor. I did that on a bunk when I was a kid. I rolled off a top bunk in a bunk bed and fell on the floor.
I never had a bunk bed.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
But
you also didn't have diverticulitis.
True. Whether you had it or not, it's still going to hurt falling.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just thinking, yeah, you're a good call. All right, so what else did you think about this segment?
I forgot how good of a promo Kenny is, because it's been so long since he's been in the ring. He looked great, and like, you know, when they had the shirt off and everything, like, he was still in really good shape. So that's good to see him be well, like, in a good physical health and be able to not feel like he missed a beat. He did a lot more in-ring than I thought he would. I wasn't expecting him to do the Snapdragon and some other stuff. I didn't think he'd be doing that much physicality. I thought maybe he'd be the one getting beaten down on, but not doing much. So that was good to see, or promising to see, I should say. I think him, he obviously telegraphed the whole stomach line when he talked about getting hit in the stomach. But he also, I think maybe he telegraphed also that he might be coming back in a few months when he's mentioned, you know, fighting Okada. So maybe he's closer to a return than we might think, which is good news. So the one thing I have a question is,
sure,
he talked about being an EVP as well, but he's one out of the three. So like, you don't have majority rule. You're going to get outvoted for anything you try to do.
Well, I guess it depends on how you view the EVP thing.
Is it by vote? Is that how it's set up, or is it just every man for himself? But I mean, it doesn't matter now anyway, because he won't be at the stadium. He just got hit in the stomach with the chair. I mean, chair. He just got hit in the stomach with one. So I was with you. I'm like, you would be outvoted. I'm like, I wonder if there's his thought is, though, if they try to threaten anyone with firing or if they try to do anything, he can cut it out. There is I don't know. I know it's very interesting. I know Fightful Select said like he's a ways away from coming back. At least that's what people believe. But ways away doesn't mean it could mean what, like you said, it could mean all in at the end of the summer. Like that's a ways away, but it's not that far away. It just is in wrestling terms. It's not imminent, but it's not, you know.
Yeah, and it's always hard to tell with injuries in wrestling because, you know, no one ever wants to give you an accurate date.
No, because you want some of the surprise.
Right. So I always take it with a grain of salt where someone says it could be a year. Like, fine, maybe 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I mean, that's – I do think it must have been better. Like, I know he came in going originally over the bad news side of it. I got to believe it's a little bit better news than he's indicating because you don't take these bumps if it's really bad.
Yep.
So we'll, you know, it's SJ reporting in that she was on the edge of her seat the entire match. She, for those wondering what mean, SJ lives in the Winnipeg area, I guess. I don't know what kind of drive it is, but she's there. So she got to finally see Dynamite live. They don't get much out that way.
They go out there a lot, I feel like.
Do they?
Out in Winnipeg?
I feel like this is only like the second time.
I feel like it's been the more than two now. I don't know. SJ, let us know how many times.
I mean, maybe because you have Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho both from there. So, like, if you're going to go somewhere in Canada, go where your boys are from.
And Don Callis.
But, well, we can ignore that. It's her second time. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Either way, I have a feeling Kenny stays. Well, Jesse, there's nothing up in state New York. Why would they go up there?
I'm just happy they're coming to my backyard in June. They're finally making it to like Iowa or Nebraska here. Well, not Nebraska, Iowa, I guess, but close enough.
Yeah, I mean,
it's they'll be doing a collision like 15 minutes away from where I live, so.
Okay. Oh, you know, down Omaha.
Well, it'll be in Council Bluffs, so other side of the Missouri River.
I don't know nearly enough about that area.
Geography after the show.
If it's not East Coast or West Coast, I'm confused. see, Jesse, you're going to the Buffalo show. Buffalo girls, would you come out tonight?
Yeah,
come
out tonight. Buffalo gets a lot of shows. A lot of wrestlers come up there.
Yeah, Buffalo is a lot of wrestlers. I'm surprised they don't go. You're right. Buffalo should get more.
Yeah, that's a good wrestling community up there.
But I don't think we're going to see Kenny as a regular on TV.
No.
I think this was done very deliberately to prevent that.
Yeah, he'll go away for a while, and then he'll come back. He'll have some allies with him when he's healthy again and he's cleared.
I think diverticulitis is not something you travel a lot with. I think you want to take care of it and rest and recover.
Yeah. I mean, he's at that point in his career where he can just be an attraction. He doesn't have to wrestle as much as he used to.
Yeah, but it's not the wrestling I'm talking about. Like, while he's healing, I don't think you travel.
Right.
I'm saying now. Once he's healed, once he does surgery and all, I think he goes back on full time. Jake, where are you getting the 9 months from? I'm not saying I disagree. I just don't. I haven't seen that number. So if you want to let us know where you heard it.
But yeah, you're talking about more like the recovery, the healing recovery time, kind of like when they pulled Adam Cole off the road to help him.
Yeah. You're not, I don't think diverticulitis is something you travel with while you're actively working on it. I think once it's gone, you can do whatever you need to do. But I think while you're actively fighting it, you stay off the road because it just doesn't make sense to deal with that. Like, I don't think it's healthy for anyone. You also don't want a local radio in Winnipeg is saying Al Frank. Now, does it mean he'll have been gone for 9 months? When did he go out?
Last fall, was it? Or I don't remember the last match.
Hold on. When did he first go out?
As Ryan looks up when Kenny Omega went out after being diagnosed with diverticulitis. And Ryan's looking, searching.
It's been a long time.
Really?
It's been almost a year. May 12th, 2023.
Wow.
So I'm wondering if the 9 months isn't right because this is, we're at 11, but I'm wondering if they're saying 9 more months or...
Right.
I don't know. That's a...
Yeah. I would say anywhere between 6 months to a year. If everything's... on face of what he's been saying, but and not using. Oh no, Claudio! No, I'm not a wave person. So
yeah, I stay seated. I'm very anti-wave.
Yeah, I'm anti-wave at sporting events.
Yeah, Lesnar had the same surgery. Did it take him 9 months? Is that what they're basing it on?
It could be.
Because if it is, then that makes sense. Yeah, I read Lesnar's book. He said when he had it, he was in the middle of nowhere, and he was very worried that he was going to die in some middle of nowhere hospital.
He lives in the middle of nowhere. That's what happens.
Yeah. That's why I like living near a nice big city. I don't live in the city, but I live near it. So that...
Deep in Philadelphia.
We have some very good hospitals.
I know. I'm just mad at the Sixers still.
Why would that be?
Oh, because the Knicks let them off the hook.
Boy, did they. Listen, I don't think the Sixers... We have some time to kill, so I'm not really worried about it. Because we are basically at the end. I don't think the Sixers come back and win this series. I just don't think they're deep enough. But if I'm a Knicks fan, I don't feel good at all.
No, I don't. I've seen it too many times.
Well, also, and I'm not trying to be whatever, and again, I'm going to firmly state right here, right now, I believe the Knicks won the series, so you're not hearing me, but Sixers are technically in the lead in the point differential for the series, plus two, but they are, and their starters have demolished the Knicks starters. The problem is the Sixers have no bench. So if I'm a Knicks fan, my one concern is that if anyone on the Sixers bench gets hot, you're in a lot of trouble. Of course, I don't see that as a Sixers fan. There's just no way in hell that happens. But if I were a Knicks fan, that's where my mind would be. Jake, so I actually liked, that's a good question, since we are quicker than even I thought we'd be. What did we, Jake wants to know what we thought of tonight's show. I liked it. Didn't see as much as Rampage, but what I did see, I enjoyed. I'm glad that they're giving Switchblade a chance to show off how good he is. He really needs the rebuild. And Willow's amazing. And Sky Blue's grown leaps and bounds. But on the main show, I love the through story. They don't do that enough, so I'm very glad that they're doing it, of the through story with the EVPs touching multiple segments. The Copen Challenge is always a lot of fun. Christian being the challenger for Swerve just makes a ton of sense. I love the Mariah May, Serena Deeb, Tony Storm storyline. I love all that stuff. You're right. That shows when they were the Golden Jets was the last time Kenny Omega was around. I even said I had fun watching the Jericho Shibata match because it was weird and funny and not what I expected. What'd you think of the show, Joe?
It was an okay Dynamite. I think the dynamites like this are kind of like good, not great, especially in the smaller markets. But it did really well as far as forwarding storylines, whether it's EVP ones, whether it's setting up, you know, Swerve's opponent. You had the Orange and Trent story with Don Callis now. I felt like it set up a lot of matches for Double or Nothing and a lot of storyline progression. So I appreciate that. And then, yeah, like I think maybe the Shibata Jericho match would maybe my surprise of the night for not hating that match.
Yeah, that was definitely my surprise of the night.
Your favorite match of the night?
I mean, it was Copeland versus Buddy Matthews. That was a really fun, good match. I had a comment. Let me think about what my comment was. God, I have the mind of a goldfish some days.
I liked the Serena Mariah May match, actually.
That was a fun match. It was a very fun match.
It's a little different than what we usually see. I felt like I've seen the Copeland Buddy match before, like that type of match.
That is true. The Serena Mariah May was definitely different, had a different flow to it, a different play, a different story altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like about what AEW is doing right now is they seem to be setting up. They're doing a good job of giving a lot of people stories right now, which is always the hardest part. There's still a bunch of people I wish had more stories, but they're doing a good job of at least giving as many as you can out there. Tonight was just more of that with, you know, you have your Swerve story, you have the EVPs touching a bunch of things, you have your learning tree, you have your Mariah May, you have your Serena Deeb, FTR. Like, and then there's a totally different thing going on in Collision. Like, the EVPs don't seem to touch Collision. So, in some way, you're getting a whole different set of stories there, which I really enjoy. The only thing I'm wondering is, and it was asked in the chat, I think. If it wasn't, I apologize. No, it wasn't. Sorry. I was reading comments. Tweets. Oh, this was what my comment was. It was about tweets. I saw a lot of comments about the crowd, people thinking the crowd wasn't that good.
I don't know. SJ can tell us.
Actually, how'd you think of the crowd? I mean, but even across the TV, I thought the crowd was fine.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I mean, was it the loudest crowd? No. But was it sitting on my hands and not say a word crowd? No.
Yeah, like I thought it was. I thought it was. You know, is it the loudest crowd? No, but I thought it was a fairly good crowd.
It wasn't WrestleMania 40 sitting in cold weather Philadelphia fans crowd. No, like.
No. But who is? Yeah. So, like Jesse's saying, he thought they seemed quiet but got loud at the right times. I mean, that's a fair 1LT thinking they sucked versus Mariah versus Serena. Maybe.
Well, Mariah's a secondary player to Tony, and Serena hasn't been featured as much on, I feel like, on Dynamite, or hasn't been built up to be a big thing yet. So maybe fans are still kind of lukewarm on both of them.
I also think, in fairness to the fans and in pain for Mariah and Serena, is they were right before Kenny was coming out. And the crowd knew that they were right before Kenny was coming out. So the crowd is waiting for Kenny.
Yeah. Are you saying that's like the chicken tender break of when you would go to the bathroom, or?
Not necessarily. I mean, you did have a third hour, so people might have been concerned and went to the bathrooms. But I also think it's more just, you don't really care what's in front of you. You're waiting for the thing right after.
Now you mentioned. Sorry, go ahead.
Which isn't really an indictment of the crowd because it's a hometown thing, so it's a whole different. So, what were you gonna say?
No, you mentioned the third hour tonight. What I was thinking, you know, we've had 3 hours on Saturday night recently. Now we have 3 hours tonight. Where do you feel like 3 hours feels more natural or flows better? For me, I feel like Wednesday. If it's between Wednesday and Saturday, I feel like the Wednesday 3 hours felt better than a Saturday 3 hour show.
I mean, either way, we're not doing 3 hours of our stuff. We're not waiting till to start our show till after the third hour, or we're not. But so I got to take that out of the equation because I'm not starting the show till 15 on a Wednesday.
You didn't have a show to do at all. Yes,
I know. I know. I honestly don't know. I feel like it's depend. I feel like there was. I feel like this felt better than last. I think it's dependent on the Rampage we get. I think it really depends on how well it flows with the show that they just had. I like Saturdays at 11 that go 3 hours a little bit more. Cause what if I'm in watching Collision till 10, what do I care if I'm watching Collision till 11? Granted, I'm awake at that time on Wednesdays anyway, clearly, but I don't like the third hour no matter what. So it's really just pick your poison at that point. 3 hours is tough. It's a lot of consecutive wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Logically, it makes more sense to do it on Wednesday because you have Rampage right after, and then you have Collision to take care of the storylines you set up on Rampage. But I don't know. I honestly, no, Scott, even Kate knows that she'd be 10:15 with us. No one wants to start the show at 11:15.
She'd still be late.
She still would be late, yeah. Willow is worth... Doc, no one is worth 3 hours. That's just too much in one night. Enjoyed her match. It was a lot of fun. But 3 hours is 3 hours.
Right.
We need...
Being a minute man.
Yeah. Like 2 hours. Everyone likes 2 hours. Everyone complains about the third hour of Raw. Now, the only thing that AEW does... Actually didn't do it as much tonight, but there was some of it. But they do better than WWE, which may help mitigate the third hour, is they do have longer wrestling matches. So it eats up some of that time. WWE, they're getting better at it, but for a while there, I mean, they have definitely gotten much better at it, but for a while there, it was very short matches, which just makes it feel like segment after segment after segment, like you can have too many segments at some point. But I just prefer 2 hours. You're telling me you'd want 3 hours?
No, but it's, I feel 3 hours is inevitable. So
it does feel inevitable. It's like Thanos.
And, you know, I guess. It depends on which you feel better with as far as the lead-in. Do you feel better with Collision as a lead-in, or do you feel better with Dynamite as a lead-in?
Oh, that's a good call. But you also got to figure out if you're going to do a three-hour show, are you okay with it being moved around a lot? Because Collision gets moved a lot.
True.
Whereas Dynamite's consistent.
Yeah. Well, it's all things to consider as they negotiate the new TV rights deal. Yeah.
So I'll ask one last question of the night, and we can have a very early show and be the first time in a long time that we're even this quick. But do you think Swerve's help is the Motor City Machine Guns?
I'm trying to think of what their relationship is in the past.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I get them having, like, wanting to, you know, have a thing with the Bucks. But not with Christian. I don't see them coming in at that point. I don't know. I'm curious to see who it'll be. You have any guesses?
Motor City. I always thought Motor City with Kenny, if he was closer to coming back. Clearly, he's not. So that doesn't really flow well. They don't fit in terms of relationship. Well, they do fit with Christian, actually. Because Christian was TNA.
Okay, yeah.
And they were TNA. I think they were there when Christian was there. So I think there's enough overlap there that you could have a history there. It
I think you're talking. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the Mughal embassy is the team anymore. For Swerve, Motor City Machine Guns would be a nice quick face team that doesn't stay with him. But I don't know. 1LT wants MXM, which is, you know, Mason and Mansoor. I don't see that happening.
Watch him
feeling.
He'll be like Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll tell you what. All right. So I think this can be our show for the night. It was a quick one. I apologize, guys, but just it was a quick show. The Rampage shows me off, and it's just been one of those weeks, so I don't mind ending early. Joe, where can we find you?
Well, other than tonight, here on Wednesdays, you can find me on social media at _AsianJoe. And in my bio, there's a link where you can read my serial review blog. So please check that out if you want to. Otherwise, I'm also on the Mark Ward podcast here on Saturday nights for our Collider cast when they don't have 3-hour Collider cast collisions. I think we're doing one this Saturday, right, Ryan?
I don't think there's a collision this week.
Are there not a collision Saturday?
No, I don't think so.
Man, it's hard to keep up with all the playoffs and moving things around. But so maybe I won't be on this Saturday. One of these Saturdays, I will be with Ryan again.
I'm fairly certain there's no collision this Saturday.
Oh, are you gonna verify?
It's hard to verify because is there a collision this Saturday? Nope, no collision. Scott said it. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. So we won't be here Saturday, but where will you be every other day, Ryan?
Every other Saturday, I'm on the Collidercast at 10:15. I'm here every Wednesday, not 10:15, 8. I'm here every Wednesday at 10:15. Jesus, my brain is just gone today. You can follow me on all our socials at MarkOrderPod. Please be nice. Don't be a jerk. And follow all of us there, follow me there and all of our activities because I will post what we're doing there. You can follow my history blog here for history.com. And that's about it. We thank the chat for joining us tonight. Am I missing something?
No, okay. Go ahead. Thanks to people in the chat. Thanks to
I was going to.
All right.
I'm going to thank 1LT, Big G, Scott, SJ, Jesse, Lord Kev, Jake, Ophelia Quickly, who didn't like my Canadian slander. I thanked them all.
Yeah.
Thank you. So thank you guys for joining us. It always makes it more fun to have you in the chat with us. So let me outro overlay.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.